Hello and welcome to the Tech & Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech & Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech & Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Okay. Welcome to the next episode of the Tech & Toast podcast. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Evers, Group Director of IT for Rocco Forte Hotel. Forte Hotels. I can't believe I did that. Anyway, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, doing great. Thank you.
And we've just spent the morning at an event together. We've just been talking about tech. We're having a tech day, aren't we?
We really are. Yeah. Well, I mean, every day is a tech day for me. wouldn't have it any differently. But yeah, this morning was very informative.
Yeah, it was great. We pulled together a bunch of, we were networking with a bunch of, mostly restaurant operators, actually, compared to the field you're in.
Yeah.
And we were just talking off air then saying how interesting it is actually that we're in the restaurant and casual dining community. That seems to be, there's quite a community around this kind of thing, talking around tech. And would you say you're siloed in hotels? Is it different over there?
I don't think so. I think it's hotels, we've got a really good scene.
Yeah.
But it is pretty niche when you when you combine hospitality plus technology.
That's me.
Yeah, it's kind of
I am niche.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. But it really is a bit of a niche field, both in hospitality and in technology. So yeah, you get that. But as you were saying, Chris, we were just chatting about the disconnect between food and beverage and rooms in a hotel space. Now, that's not necessarily systemic. That's not all the time, but certainly, maybe we step on each other's toes sometimes. But I guess, from my point of view, it's for me, it's all this. I look after both equally, restaurants, hotels, the whole nine yards of what a luxury hotel experience is all about.
And we'll get into that, but first of all, let's learn a bit more about you. I mean, so how long have you been here and what's your journey been like, I suppose, in IT world and hotel world?
Sure.
How have they linked together?
Yeah, pretty unconventionally, actually. this year, I was just thinking this morning, gosh, it's now 27 years that I've been in technology.
Wow. That's a journey in itself, right?
Yeah,
because the guy this morning from TOS was talking about the fact that he was one of the first to go to kiosks and how hard it was to find a supplier. You must have seen the whole journey of that through your career.
I guess, yeah. And I never really stop and think about it. I sort of came into the technology world. My first IT job, if you like, the internet was there, but nobody really ever used it because it wasn't useful for anything. So I feel like I've kind of grown up alongside that. So that's kind of cool. I started in IT, in technology as a first line technician. Just things started to snowball, and then I actually took a job role with a hotel company in 2011. So it's pretty much half my career working alongside hospitality. And I suppose I do consider myself a technology person first, working alongside hospitality.
And how's that?
Not quite true.
Because in this industry you can't help it, right? It's such an emotional. It kind of pulls you in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not. How do you find that? Because obviously you came from an IT background, obviously, and then you've ended up in hotels.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Is it difficult to work with us people?
Honestly, for me, no, not really. I think, IT is a service industry, just the same as hotels and hospitality is anyway. So a lot of those soft skills are actually transferable. It's the passion of hospitality exists in IT as well. So it's been, for me anyway, it's been a fairly natural crossover.
No, I love that. And my career started, I was telling you earlier on, that in Forte Hotels, when it was just Forte Hotels. I think it was the Forte Crest on Carburton Street down here in London. I was a waiter as part of my university program.
Wow.
I was sent down here. I lived in, it was so cool. I lived in Regent's Palace in Piccadilly Circus on the top floor.
That was really cool.
So all the staff used to live up there. We used to live, so there was no phones, like you said, nothing. We used to put, if we wanted to go out, we used to have to put a post-it note on their door to say, I'll be in the pub at 6. Hopefully I'll see you there.
That was Facebook back
That was Facebook, yeah. So, but I had a great time at Forte. And I think It felt, I found, because hotels aren't my bag, right? There's a different scene for me, and I find it really, it felt like a different world, as in you're a little bit disconnected from, depending on the hours you work, you're quite disconnected from the normal worlds it would be, and yeah, you true. Really have like a second family. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely accurate. I suppose that's probably more true in operational roles than it is in technology.
I'm sure,
but it's so true. When you're in the hotel environment, if you're doing a great job from a technology point of view, you really do feel connected to the operation. You can see, yeah, you do feel really a part of the support for your colleagues. And you just, there's something inside you that wants you to see them succeed.
I love that.
I think that's what makes...
No, but I think you just described hospitality really nicely. Yeah. That's what we want to do, right? It's like coming around someone's house. You want to make them have a good time. So you want to make them and feel like... And that makes you feel good, right? Mm. That they feel good. It's great.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, us guys, we don't serve the guests directly. So it's really important that we serve the people that do serve the guests. So you look after the guests, we'll look after you.
Love that. Got your back. And tell us a bit about Roccaforte, because obviously they've gone through a journey over the years.
Gosh, haven't we just? Yeah.
I don't know how far back you can go, not back to my time. But what's the journey been like for Roccaforte? Where are they at now?
Yeah, so I guess 25 years last year we celebrated. Now I've only been with the company for just over, coming up to 18 months now, so I still feel like the new guy. But it's honestly been such a natural fit to just take the seat and just run with it.
Yeah.
It's a great company. Certainly, we make no secret, we're definitely the very luxury. The 1% is who we're looking for as our guests and who we think are looking for us. Just lately, most recent hotels, we've had new openings over the last few years now in Sicily. We've got a few in the pipeline, couple of which I can talk about, a lot of which I can't.
You can't do that. That's not allowed.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. But we do have quite an aggressive and ambitious growth pipeline. So it's easier for me to talk about the future, really, than it is about the past. You can't look too far into the past without mentioning the thing that happened. happened, to be fair, I think it did change the face of our company. A lot of decisions were made through necessity.
Yes, I'm sure.
Arguably, we've been putting off. And I suppose a big take home for me from all of that is actually change resistance. It doesn't actually exist. Change resistance is a luxury, but my goodness, when you've got no customers and no business and you have to make decisions day to day, look how quickly stuff changes.
I think that's right. And I think you're alluding to, we had the panel before this morning, we were talking about change management actually, and the fact that, are you a change-ready culture and all this kind of stuff? But you're saying the fact is that when you're in that position, and we're talking about the pandemic here, that you've been put in, that you guys were put in, there is no choice.
That you
need to act. But act in a strategic way looking forward, but you still have to act.
Yeah. Do you know, there's an interesting thing you say there. So I suppose, the last few years, it's always been about big change for us, ever since the thing that happened. So all
have
of
you had
team,
it banned from the office? That word.
Since then, we've always had at least one major change going on at any one time. So it is just a part of the program. You know, what's this year's big ticket change item? So for us, it does come really, really naturally amongst our colleagues. So that's great. But also, what we were discussing this morning as well, there were a lot of technology changes which sort of got made in a hurry and rushed through. And we all know the reasons why, and it made sense at the time. But certain things, it was really hard to be strategic about. The QR codes thing is a really, really great example. That seemed like a fantastic idea, but it was never going to last.
Yeah.
And here we are now. And we just heard from somebody, a restaurateur this morning, who said that only 20% of their orders still go through
QR codes.
Yeah,
that was Ryan from F1. Yeah, he was saying,
right.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's very interesting. That's maybe the first time anybody's been brave enough to actually come out and say that.
Yeah.
That it really was a flash in the pan. And if you've overinvested in that space, that might be a bit...
Well, I think it's interesting because it's the... And everyone who wants to rile against tech or roll against tech, you know, for whatever reason. Well, the one argument they do have, which I do agree with, is that humans, at the end of the day, are that make this business what it is. Like we just talked about at the start, about the fact you support the people that support the people.
Right.
And I think that's a human nature. And I don't think, as good as AI might be, we're not going to be able to create that anytime soon. And I think that's where, and the QR code was potentially put in a piece of tech in front of a customer to replace a human, which we had to do, as you said, at the time. The government ruled it. But yeah, 20% usage is really interesting, isn't it? When you've invested in something heavily. But I think the way you described it was still a useful addition to what they do, you know, in terms of their experience.
Right. I mean, 20% is not at all to be sniffed at. That's great. But there were times where everybody needed it and they needed it tomorrow.
Yes.
And everybody has sort of rowed back since then. And it's now quite difficult. You know, if you were opening, opening a brand new state-of-the-art luxury restaurant tomorrow, Michelin star, that works, would you go for QR codes? The answer is probably no.
Yeah.
That's not to say it's the wrong decision. It depends on your brand and what you want what your ethos is, but probably you wouldn't do that.
And in your part of the market as well, and when you look at scalability for you guys and what you're doing in terms of growth, and you talked about the future a little bit before, how much are you looking at, how much does tech play a part in that journey? Now, there's two different things here. There's tech in terms of SaaS, and then there's IT in terms of infrastructure, right? And I suppose you balance the two off together. How much of that is in your project plan or whatever, however you organize yourself, how much of that do you have to take into consideration before you start agreeing? Because the hotels aren't like, obviously they're not like restaurants, but throwing up a restaurant, I'm not saying it's easy, but building and or refurbing or buying a hotel is a different ballgame, right? A lot of moving parts.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose we've got a very good attitude towards technology. Jeff Bezos said back in the 90s, start with the customer and work backwards. That was his thing. Okay,
really good point.
Start with the guest experience then. What experience do you want your guests to have? Not from technology, but just entirely. The technology isn't a separate experience.
Yeah.
It's a part of the same guest experience.
Yeah.
So if you have those conversations right from day one, if you've got a technology representation in the room at the time that you're looking at your hotel that you're planning to buy or planning to refurbish or whatever the story is, you're all communicating right from day dot as to, we all agree what the guest experience is, should be, should look and feel like. We all know what our own part to play in that is. So I feel like I'm really a part of that conversation right from the first, from as soon as we got our foot in the door at Rocco Forte, we have the conversation, all of us together. What's the experience of this hotel going to be? Not the technology experience, the food and beverage experience, the guest experience.
Love that.
You know, it's not multiple different experiences. It's all one joined up program. So our guests are going to have a certain experience in the room. There will be technology there.
Enabling that experience.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a real intrinsic thread of that experience.
I love that intrinsic thread. No, I think it's really key. And I think it was the Franklin Covey, Start with the End in Mind, one of his seven habits. And I always think that sometimes gets missed, and the end in mind in our case in hospitality is what the guests want to experience, as you said, because they're the people that pay our bills, right?
Absolutely.
And they're the people we need to impress. And I think, again, this morning someone talked about bringing a customer back is probably the most valuable thing. Yeah. And I imagine for rooms as well, or F&B actually, because F&B can act as another part of the business. Oh, rooms. I mean, so do you have member services? Is that right? Would you call it that, or guest services? Is that how you'd refer
to
all the different?
Sure, we do.
But sorry, it'd be interesting to understand actually for my listeners, because I think my hotel world is, I've had 80-20 again, let's go for the 20% into my listeners. So could you talk us through, not in detail, but a tech stack for a hotel? What would be required, I suppose, because I can do it for a restaurant verbatim, but it'd be interesting to understand the ins and outs of a tech stack for a hotel.
Sure, and I mean, it will have different shapes depending on brand and whatnot, but everybody will know the expression PMS in hotels, you know, your property management system. There's an always, forever, never-ending debate about whether that is or should be the center point of, of the tech stack. Again, you can carve that argument up however you like, however it suits your business case. But the fact is, that's probably the single most critical piece of technology.
And the PMS looks after...
So predominantly, we think of PMS as being rooms.
Right.
In reality, there's some blurred lines involved in that, but generally speaking, that is true.
Right.
Everything to do with rooms will use the PMS. And here's the thing. It's one huge product, but within that, you'll have about 10 or 15 different groups of users who will use that same one product in completely different ways.
Because I'm guessing it's a CRM as well as being...
borderline, But if you think about the way that our housekeeping team will use it, for example, they have to turn rooms. So they know when guests have checked out, they know when they've cleaned rooms, they know when rooms have been inspected, and they know when the arrivals are due, etc. That looks completely different than when you're going through the reservation journey.
Yeah.
But it's the same underlying product. So
yeah, and I suppose the user, so whether it be housekeeping, whether it be front desk, whether it be, so is that intuitiveness needs to exist, right? Because you've got different levels of user using it. Obviously, you've got senior people from a heads of department point of view. Mm-hmm. You've also got people who chambermaids who are changing the beds, right, sorting the right rooms out, who also need to be able to access it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose each of those departments will all have their own KPIs, which have to just make sure that the pyramid does exist. And their KPIs are actually feeding the business KPIs, and they're not just sort of, doing their own thing in a silo.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But that particular conversation is nothing at all about technology and completely about people.
Yes.
So getting the people along the journey and having them understand, what do I need from my colleagues, and what do my colleagues need from me as a department?
And changing a PMS in a hotel chain, I'm guessing, is probably one of the biggest things you would do in terms of.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah, yeah. It's different when you take over a hotel and you onboard another one. You've already got established processes and policies and so on. But yeah, changing a
it's
PMS
a big decision.
Product. Yeah, it's a very big decision. Every other piece of technology, in some way, shape, or form, is going to touch that.
Yeah.
Either you're going to charge things to your room.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But every other piece of technology in the hotel at some point is going to have a touch point with the PMS. That's just...
So it's kind of like the heartbeat. In restaurant world, it's the pulse, potentially, that is the heartbeat of
the things
that plug into it.
Yes, I suppose.
And what else do you have in that stack then, so aside from the PMS?
Yeah, so, okay, we need to talk about operational systems. So the operational system, probably 80% of it is PMS.
Yeah.
Also, we need to have... we need to spare a thought for guest service technology as well. And this is where... particularly us in the luxury sector, that becomes really interesting.
Yeah.
So these are the technology services and products that we're directly putting into the hands of our guests, that they're going to touch, order services through, use, and enjoy their experience.
So they really represent that experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this case, we're thinking about just coming up with some examples. Wi-Fi.
Okay? Yeah.
Every hotel needs to have it. It needs to, once again, you do need to just take a quick look at your brand values. Does the Wi-Fi support these brand values? I know that sounds like a strange question for non-technical people, but no, does it?
We just discussed it before, actually, saying how Wi-Fi can make or break an experience, right? Depending on what you want that experience to be.
Right.
So if you're in a luxury hotel, you would expect to get online pretty slick.
It's got to be top shelf.
Yeah.
Yep. And in these days, we talked about, right at the start here, we talked about the journey. Back in the day, Wi-Fi and TV services and in-room specialist movies were things that you would charge for.
Yeah.
These days, that is simply not the case. It's simply the requirement that you provide those services.
So it's an expectation.
Absolutely, it's an expectation. There's been that evolution as well. We need to just stay on top of that. Now, in the luxury hotel experience, we would always look to provide, wherever it's cost feasible, of course, to provide something that you can't have at home. You can't have a Michelin-starred meal at home.
Love that.
You can't have the best available corporate, business-grade Wi-Fi services at home. So does that support our brand value? Yeah, it does. It does.
I love that. I stay at the other house. I don't know if you know it. In South Kensington.
Yeah.
I normally stay in there every week when I stay down here. I didn't last night, which was a bad decision in the end, because I regretted it.
I'm not going to ask you where you did stay then. No, that's not fair, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it's not on the same... It was a bargain.
Got it. Okay,
it wasn't in the same bracket.
On.
Yeah, yeah. The location was good, put it that way.
Yeah.
But I definitely get something from that experience. I can't tell you... Do you know what? I really couldn't pinpoint what it is I get from staying there. But I went once, and I'm hooked.
Yeah.
And I stay there every week. It feels like I'm in a members club. I feel like exclusive.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I can't explain why. And whatever they've done with that, that's been quite clever because they've sold me on it. But I couldn't tell you the one thing in that experience that I think is, that's why I go there.
Yeah.
But that's also very clever, right? Because I am getting something from it. And I
that
you just said there about getting something you can't get at home. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
It's magical, right? It's very hard to put in a spreadsheet, I'm sure. But I find it really interesting. And again, in their tech stack, I think they've got various different things. They've got opportunities you can order in and all this kind of stuff through your room and everything, which is really cool. But again, I expect it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the customer getting more savvy and getting more intuitive with tech as years have gone by, or it's simply that's the bracket you're sitting in, you have to offer that.
That is an interesting debate, isn't it? I suppose our approach would always be, there are lots of reasons to put technology pieces into the guest experience.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the time, we'll see that people are trying to do it for their own benefit, to save the hotel money or to be more efficient or whatever. Okay, those are the things for me. What's in it for the guest?
Yeah.
Is this actually better or faster or less resistive or less intrusive or more personalized for the guest? So in our luxury sector, that's always my first thought. I totally acknowledge, right, there might be a cost saving, there might be some efficiency, automation, all the other good stuff that we talk about every day. But the first thought for me is, yeah, how's this going to translate into a guest experience improvement? How does this piece of technology make the experience better?
Because your customer is different, right? Because they have expendable cash probably, right? They have a different mentality to spending, I would imagine, where, and I imagine when it comes to cost, not that it's not important, but does it become a secondary conversation in the boardroom because you're kind of saying, look, we need to deliver for these people first and then come back to this bit secondary? I'm sure that's probably wrong. I'm sure the cost always comes up.
It's an absolute balancing act.
Right.
Now, clearly, we don't want to drink the profits, so to speak. We don't want to just spend the money. Yeah. Just then you end up in the terrible situation where you're doing the technology for the sake of the technology. Well,
which is not good.
You know, the technology is not the result here. What the result is great customer service. So, you know, does it deliver an actual measurable service? And a lot of our guests, you know, real socially elite folks, their version of AI is a personal assistant.
Yes.
So, you know, we're not going to try and compete with that.
Yeah.
But if it does actually add something to the experience, then we'll provide that service. I suppose the other differentiator is that for us, it's just the right amount of technology. If in your mind you can separate, if you see something that's, you know, TripAdvisor comment or whatever, the service was great, but the technology didn't work. Okay, well, that's not good because you can separate the technology from the service.
Yeah.
Whereas in my mind and everything that we do, well, they're not separable because the technology is a part of that service.
Yeah, it's driving that operational.
Either the service was bad or the service was good. And it's difficult to tell where the technology ends and other service comes into it.
I was about to ask that. How do you test? So if you're implementing a new product on site, and it's hard because you're a live environment. You don't shut.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas a restaurant can close and do some testing or whatever. Or, you know, you often need guest interaction to test anyway. But it's interesting because you don't really stop. So how do you A-B test a product into the business?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of that will come from, well, first of all, we're going to limit our risks, right? So we need to identify a proof of concept.
Yeah.
So whether that's, you know, acceptance criteria or just one hotel or just the suites or any way that you can just sort of minimize the exposure and make your acceptance criteria very, very specific.
Yeah.
So this is either a digital, this has worked or it has not worked. If it hasn't worked, fine, you can go back and have another look at it and try again if you want to. But if it has worked, then you start putting one foot in front of the other and start to scale.
Yeah, there's no gray area in when you're kind of, I suppose there must be a gray area somewhere, but generally you're looking for a yes or no to keep moving forward onto the next iterations it would be.
Yeah, and as long as, you know, we would put several KPI-led things into our acceptance criteria. So guest experience, yep, we know that. Value, cost effectiveness, other metrics go into that proof of concept so that we know whether or not we're over the line with this.
Yep.
Or if there's anything, there may be some gray areas, maybe that we've hit certain targets but haven't hit others. Okay, well, if that's the case, let's have another look at it and see if we can sharpen that up. Or is it a compromise that we're willing to accept as we start to scale this particular, you know, product blank, whatever that might be, into the business?
I'm always interested, how much data, you must be getting quite a lot of data about your guests. And I'm not saying in a mining type of way. I'm not saying you're stealing data. But in terms of, it must paint a really interesting picture of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it does. And I suppose the important thing here is that the data that we do have about our guests, that's all data that they have chosen to volunteer for us.
Yeah.
And it's all there. It's all got a purpose. It's all useful. It's there so that we can make the experience more personalized and ultimately consistent.
Yeah.
You know, if we know that our guest has a particular preference, you know, prefer white wine to red wine, to oversimplify it, let's say. Okay, well, then every time you come in, that should be the repeated experience for you.
It's so powerful, isn't it?
Consistent.
To get that right and to have that. That's what I'm saying, because data is often, everyone hears the word data, they always think bad things, but actually it's so great for the guest or for the user end of the experience that actually if we get it right, it's so cool, because you can, you know, I know McDonald's are doing it now, recognizing a number plate saying he had chicken nuggets last time he's going to put
really?
It on.
I didn't know
that. This is coming. This is like, so they can pre-order, they can almost, on the electrical, the digital menus, you'll see your last order pop up, which is mad. And I think in a hotel, well, being able to create that into a seamless experience. So maybe you're a regular business signal traveler, you sit down and they and the waiter turns up, so white wine again. You know, just even that slight, that little moment. And I'm sure the guest doesn't probably really appreciate it in terms of, oh, that was amazing. But it's just that comfort, right? And you said something you don't get at home. It's that nice, I'm back in my safe place. Do you see real impact from that?
Yeah, absolutely we do. I think as a brand, one thing we're really, really good at is loyalty. And okay, we have a customer loyalty program.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see a lot of brands, even luxury brands, will go so far as to have a loyalty scheme. But here's the thing, loyalty isn't a scheme. Loyalty in general, you have to earn that.
Yes.
So if you expect your guests,
it's
trust, right?
Yeah.
If you expect your guests to be loyal to you and to your brand, well, then you have to show loyalty to them. So, you know,
this is a really good example of when someone buys tech to fix loyalty. You know, oh, I bought a SaaS product that does loyalty really well. That's great, but have you got any loyalty? Are your customers loyal? And you're never going to just make them do it just because you put an app in front of them, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's for us and in our sector generally, I don't think it's not a stamp on a card and a free coffee after 10 goes. It's never going to be that.
However, I would take that the other house if they gave me a free night after 9. But I agree. I think it's a lot more. It's a deeper emotional, like I've just talked about. It's a deeper emotional connection where you trust that brand.
Yeah.
And I'll go back because I get a good experience there. And I'm happy, I can work. It's just, for me, it's that those nuances that make, I think hotels are fascinating. Mm. I think I've always have done. I enjoy the lobby experience and the fact that they really overspend on that welcome experience.
Yeah.
And then you move into the rest hotel and you kind of want it to follow. And sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, in technology, and here's the juxtaposition about what we here do in tech for hospitality, is that you're trying to create a genuine human emotional response from something so cold and so zero and one, digital, from technology. That's a complete, those two things don't really go together. So that's kind of the magic of it. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, people make comparisons between hotels and airlines quite a lot.
Yes.
Which in lots of ways is kind of good. And everyone is saying, well, you know, you check in now on even on Ryanair, you check in and automatically and you get your boarding pass and so on. Yeah, but I'm going to have a problem with that. See, here's the thing. When you check into an airline, that never was a pleasant experience.
No.
It's always a negative experience checking in at Ryanair or any airline. Yes. I don't want to be unfair.
I'm not sure Ryanair listens, so it'll be fine.
But, you know, checking into a luxury hotel is and always has been a very pleasant experience. You're there for a personal reason, for a celebratory reason.
You look
reason.
Forward to that moment, don't you?
You do, especially
when you go on holiday, I think, or if you're going away for a special occasion, whatever it might be. But you get off the plane, you get off the whatever commute you've then taken, and you go in with your bags, you kind of just want to drop them.
Yeah.
And then you get welcomed by some lovely person behind the counter just saying, hey, we've got you.
Show you the hotel, show you the room, it's give you a champagne on arrival, you know, and it's you just feel special. But unless you travel business class, that's not the experience for an airline. So I'm going to just call it. That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah, it's really true. And I think, and you know, and that's not just luxury either. And I know people are going to go, oh, yeah, but Chris, you can't have budget hotels doing that. But I don't know. I think you can.
I think you can.
That you'll win more friends than you'll lose in the fact that people will remember John from the reception because he looked after me that night and he gave me an umbrella when it was raining. Really simple hospitality stuff.
You know, yeah, this is the funny thing, isn't it, Chris? Everybody's talking about doing some really, really advanced, really clever, highly personalised stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go and actually have a look at their hotel and they're getting the really basic stuff wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do your homework first. Get all the low fruit done before you go and spend a lot of money and spend a lot of time working on
and
technology.
Effectively put it in the bin, you know. And I think Forte taught me, I don't know if they have it anymore, but they used to have it. Sorry, it's Rocafort now, but I'm referring back to my days. But it was, they taught me something called the moments of truth. I don't know if that still exists or if that was a thing. But it was about magical moments during the guest experience. And this, we're talking back, I'm going back to 90s, somewhere near the end of the 90s. But it was it stayed with me. Obviously, I still remember it, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really important. And they encouraged me to go on shift and find and deliver a moment of truth or experience one.
Yeah.
See one happening from one of your peers, see a guest do something special, and then report back in with it. And we didn't get anything for it. There was no reward. There was no like, but it was just, they were like, we want to know how we create this magic every day. And what it did, what it was really clever was that I actually stood there watching people who've been around for longer than me going doing stuff. And I'm thinking, that's really cool. And I'm sure they're nice people, but that's also deliberate. Right, they're doing that because they know that's a great way to ease something into a, you know, an umbrella for the rain, for instance. It's a really nice way of doing something really cool. And I that's why I think hotels have that little, that extra opportunity just to do something magical or special. I think it's brilliant. And we talked a lot about, I suppose the opportunities that tech gives. What about the challenges as well in terms of what barriers are you facing in terms of where tech can enable you or can help you? We've spoken a little bit about, you know, the different departments, but where are you seeing the biggest wins over the last 5 or 10 years, I suppose, where tech's really improved? Have you seen a massive shift in any of the departments where you can see, oh, that's really enabled us to do better?
Yeah, honestly, it's easier to say it the other way around. Literally everything.
Really?
We run a much slicker operation now in every department. And I'm sure that's not just us, Rocket Forte. I'm sure that's the industry in general. And that's kind of good, because if everybody gets better, then the standard just gets higher.
Yeah.
And that means that we have to fight even harder to compete.
Yeah.
And the ultimate winner in that is the guest.
Yeah, because you're dragging your socks up, aren't you, to go after, you know, and I think someone said everyone's after that same guest, right? Well, you know, in your world and in your department. And I think it's interesting that becomes, it can become a race to the bottom, can't it, for some people, if you kind of keep discounting or whatever you're doing, but that's not the world you live in, is it?
No, and I think, again, if we refer to what are you actually using the technology for? Are you thinking of yourself? Are you trying to save money for the brand? Or are you thinking of the guest first? I suspect what we might see right now, you've got your value hotels, which is volume.
Yeah.
Sell as much as you can. Compete on price. Compete on price. At the very top end, price is less important, less relevant. Price is now the wrong word. Value is the word.
Yes.
So compete on guest experience. Right, what about the stuff in the middle? I think that's possibly going to become a bit more exposed, where it's kind of the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not getting the best price and you're not getting the best value either. So you'll start to see hotels move up and or hotels move down.
It's the squeezed middle, isn't it?
And
it also happens in casual dining, where you have these great restaurants where you'll go to for experiences. Yep. You'll go there for a wedding anniversary, birthday, whatever. And then you've got the quick serve fast food guys who do serve a need. And then you've got these middle guys who kind of just don't really fit either of those brands. Mm. And they are also not sure which people they serve. So it ends up being squeezed and ultimately disappearing.
Well, yeah, and it'll be a choice. You know, the ones that succeed will be the ones to choose. Right, we're going to compete on value and go up.
Yeah.
Or we're going to compete on price and go down. It's either really of those routes is fine. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, the
just
same,
pick one.
yeah. But focus on it. You know, be sure that that's what you want to do as a brand. There is a, I would have an example of a can I say a name or can I not say a name?
You can do what you want. You're free. We have no rules here.
In my opinion, I think the restaurant Pizza Express is one such that began in the middle, and they are pushing up.
Yeah.
Their guest experience levels have really changed.
And do you know where they're really good at that? In the regions, in the localities when they go in. So South Kent, obviously, I'm in the house. There's a Pizza Express literally over the road. I eat there, I would say 90% of the times. So I don't eat in the hotel. I eat in there because I feel more comfortable in there. I feel at home in there. Again, I know the waitress in there really well. And they've just got, they're very clever. They went through that discounting phase through the early 2000s, and they still do it now. They still have a promotional opportunity when you want to eat in there, but they really have raised their bar.
They really are pushing upwards. So it seems to me anyway, I don't know anyone on the board, but it seems to me they seem to have made the decision, we're not going to compete on price, we're going to compete on value. So we're going to push ourselves up the chain.
It's a great piece of advice. Anyone listening, you should listen. And look, on advice, you've been doing this for 27 years. Making us all feel old here. But 27 years. If there's someone who, because a lot of the people that we represent or we talk to don't have, they're not lucky enough to have a U. I'm sure in the hotel world it's different because that role needs filling. What would the best advice you would give to people, I suppose, who are going on a tech journey, who are about to start investing money, like you said, or about to put money into something. If you could leave them with a bit of advice before we head off into the BrewDog Somerset, what would it be?
I think, there's essentially four areas of interest, and you need day one investment from each of these four areas. You need somebody from tech. How does it work? How does it talk? Does it function correctly, properly, best practice? Is it cyber secure? All that sort of below stair stuff, quite boring. You need somebody from user. Who's going to use it? Is this easy? Is it unresistive? Do I need to do tons of training? Blah, blah, blah. Someone who's going to actually use the product and represent the people who are going to be using that product in an operational space. You need somebody from finance. Can we afford this? Does it justify itself? What does the contract look like, actually, when we look at our product and what the value return on investment is going to be? And you need somebody from guest. What is going to be the improvement to the guest experience? How is this going to translate into a better result for our guests? Now, you know which one of those four people I'm going to ask first.
Yes.
And if I don't get the answer that we need, then I'm not even going to bother asking the other three. But I would say from your very first, from your day one, bring people on the journey with you. They'll say to you, oh, I don't know anything about technology. Good, because I do, and I need somebody.
And you represent our guests.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or our users, or our financiers. So as long as you've got those four representations, consider them your subject matter experts. We all want the same thing. We all want a great guest experience. So we're already friends. What is it that you need? And what is it that you need, and you need, and you need? That brings the product together.
It's brilliant advice. I think it's brilliant. No, I think, and do you know what? You could apply that to anything. It doesn't have to be hotels.
You probably can. Yeah,
that's right. I think you really can. I think it's a really smart way of looking at it. And I think it's the one thing in the industry sometimes we're a bit poor at, because we just run. We're constantly running, you know, into decision-making, knee-jerking. You know, and obviously we have a lot of things that come around the corner that we don't expect sometimes, like pandemics. I think it is constantly knee-jerking, but that kind of solidity in decision-making and really understanding where you're going with something is great.
You've got to have the vision, Chris. You've got to know what result you want and work backwards from there.
And you need an Andrew.
I'm not sure about that. You'll have to ask my employers.
Look, and I think it's really interesting talking to you. I think people like you on the podcast are great, because I think really people want hours with you rather than half an hour. If people want to get hold of you, happy to them to stalk you on LinkedIn, have a chat.
Very happy with that. Yep, sure. Some of the best relationships I've come across in business have come out of LinkedIn. It is a very powerful product.
It really is.
Great, let's talk.
Okay, brilliant. And look, and Rocket 40, in London, what locations do you have?
So we've got Brown's Hotel in London, and then the Balmoral Hotel in Edinburgh, which is... quite, you know, everybody, if you know Edinburgh, you know the Balmoral. It's the one with the clock tower.
you think Arthur's Seat, you think that?
Yeah, it is the sort of staple piece of the skyline of Edinburgh, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's a great location.
Lucky. Yeah, Rocco's very proud of that one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Aren't we all?
And look, and thank you very much for coming this morning as well. We appreciate your attendance, and it's great to see you part of the community. And I think we'll let's do some more with the hotel people. We will get you all involved and try and do something for you guys separately.
Wait.
So look. Thank you very much. Thank you to BrewDog, and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.